Now I'm going to use the slides to review what we had last week, and then cover some new territory tonight on a few more reasons why we should memorize the Scripture consistently, or you could say a few other ways how it will help you. So I'll just quickly review, and some of these things are in the paper you have. We spoke last time about how that God says to put on the whole armor of God to have victory in our battle with the devil. And of course, we're fighting with the world, the flesh, and the devil and his demons all the time. It says to take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And as we take up that sword of the Spirit, memorizing the Word will help us to get a good grip on the sword, even more so than the other things. Now, it is good to hear. God wants us to do that. It is good to read. Absolutely, God wants us to do that. We need to study, but we need to not neglect memorizing the Scripture. And this is where many Christians... Oops, I missed that one. Memorizing takes a lot of work, but it is a great value because this, perhaps above all the rest, helps to be able to meditate on the Word of God. And that's the dividing line that makes so much difference in the obedience in our life. So memorizing the Word helps us to get the best grip on the sword of the Spirit. Each of these four things go towards being able to meditate. If I hear or read or study or memorize the Word of God, then I can begin to meditate on it. Perhaps you've heard the illustration before about meditation. Just quickly, I'll mention, if you've ever watched a cow or a goat, or even the kangaroos do this, they graze for a while, taking in the new grass, and then you'll see them later on lying down, and they're chewing the cud. They actually bring up something from one of the stomachs, and they chew on it some more, and get more nourishment out of it, and it helps the digestion process. That's a beautiful picture of meditation. You see, if you've heard the Word of God on Sunday, or you've read in your Bible reading each morning of the week, or you've memorized a verse once, you've grazed a bit. But whenever you bring it back up in the memory and you ponder it, you think about it, you go over it, you pray on it, you look at it from this angle and that angle, you're meditating. You're chewing on the Word a bit more. And it's a great thing to do that. I encourage you, on Monday or Tuesday, get your sermon notes out from Sunday and review them. Don't let that slip away. Meditate on the Word that you heard Sunday. If you read in the Bible in the morning and you have a chance to review it a little bit in the evening, that's a great thing to do. Don't let it slip away easily. Go back and meditate on the Word. But memorizing the Word helps to meditate in a tremendous way. And then, of course, God wants us to think on the Word for mainly two reasons. So we will obey it, we'll please Him, and we'll glorify Him in all that we do. And then we can proclaim the Word. It's very hard to talk about something that you haven't thought on. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. If you're thinking on the Word, guess what you'll be talking about? The Word of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so these things help in a great, great way. Now, the notes there about how to memorize Scripture are in the paper you have. Last week we quickly went over this method that my dad developed over the years. It's been a big help to many, many Christians, a simple, easy way of memorizing Scripture. Anybody here tonight would put up your hand and say, I tried this in the last week and I found it helpful. If you didn't, that's okay. But anybody tried using this method in the last week and you found it helpful? My wife has. Anybody else tried it? Okay. Did anybody try to memorize a verse of Scripture since last Sunday night? Could I see your hand? All right. Praise the Lord. There's a few. All right. I need to pray a whole lot more for you. Okay. And you need to say yes to the Holy Spirit a whole lot more when He reminds you, because I guarantee you He is reminding you. All right. Well, we'll move on from that, because if you want to review the method, you can read it there. Now, I didn't say this last week, but when you try to memorize Scripture, you may get discouraged. You think, oh, I learned that verse and now I can't say it. Well, the learning process is that you have to learn it, forget it, learn it, forget it, learn it, and then you've got it. So don't get discouraged. It does take a few days before it sinks in. And if you follow the method and you really want to learn the scriptures and remember them long term, do work on it for 50 days. So that's a long time to learn the verse. Well, it's valuable enough that we want to hide it in our heart. And if you want to get it there properly, it's good to put the work into it. All right, we'll move on with some of the other review. So I do have the book, my dad's book on scripture memory, and some of the verse cards with me tonight. They'll be on the table at the end. If you want to get some of those things, you can. Just a quick review. The memorized word will help you to have victory over temptation. We looked at the example of Jesus Christ last week, how that He quoted the memorized word when Satan came and tempted Him. The memorized word of God will help you to overcome temptation the way Christ did. Thy word have I hid in my heart. Why? That I might not sin against Thee. I love Psalm 37, verse 31 especially. The law of His God is in His heart. None of His steps shall slide. What a beautiful truth. Now, the Word of God will help you in your thought life as well. Having the Word memorized will help you to bring every thought into the obedience of Jesus Christ. Just quickly notice a few of the verses. I didn't mention this one last week. But we do have a problem. Our heart is deceitful. It's desperately wicked. We need God's help to change that. You know, when we get saved, we have a new desire and we have a new heart and we have new power, but we have the same old head. And a lot of things from the past are still there. And there's some house cleaning and some mind cleaning that needs to be done. Memorizing the Word of God helps to do that very much. Proverbs 4, we saw these verses last week. Attend to my words, incline thine ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. So God wants us to have His Word right at the forefront of our thinking all the time. And as we do that, it's life to us, it's health to our flesh, and it helps us to keep or to guard our heart with all diligence, because out of it are the issues of life. You'll do what you do, and you'll say what you say because of what you're thinking. The memorized word will help you to control your thinking. As 2 Corinthians 10 talks about, pass through this, we need to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. We talked about the bucket of mud and the rocks. As you put the rocks in, day by day, the mud goes away. Pretty soon you have a bucket full of rocks and very little mud left. So when you add Scripture to the old head, day after day, pretty soon you have a head full of Scripture and very little corruption left. It's a blessing. And then whenever the evil thoughts do come to mind, we can, with the help of the Holy Spirit, pull down those strongholds in our thinking. You know, over time, we are exposed to a lot of rubbish in the world. The lies of evolution, worldly wisdom, many filthy things around, doubts and fears. And so over time, strongholds develop in our thinking that are against the things of God. And that's just, you know, simply information. And the Bible talks about casting down these imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Having the Word memorized really helps us to enjoy this victory. I just want to stop here and tell a story of a lady who had great help in this area. I might tell a couple stories to encourage you. I remember hearing my dad share about a woman that came to revival meetings where he was preaching in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, many years ago. And this lady came along with her mother, and this lady was struggling greatly with troubles in her life, her marriage. She had an invalid daughter that created a lot of stress in their home. She had many disappointments, many heartaches. This lady, before she got saved, was on hard drugs, heroin and other things. After she'd come to Christ, God had given her the victory over the drugs. But she had many, many battles to wrestle with in her life. A lot of scars to deal with. And so she was pretty much up and down a lot in her Christian life. This lady was in the revival meetings, and one night she came forward and she knelt and she prayed, and she trembled and cried at the altar for quite a while. My dad spoke to the pastor about this lady, and he shared some of her burdens, and they visited with her, and as she left, he handed her a little booklet with some verse cards on promises from the Scripture, and he encouraged her to begin reading some of those and try to memorize some of the promises of God, and to help settle her thinking and have peace in her life. Well, the next day she called where he was staying, and she said, you know, would you actually come and visit me at the home? She said, I stay with my mother. Could you come and visit me? I really have some great burdens that I need help with. So he and the pastor went and they visited this lady, and the mother shared some of the story, and the young lady shared some of the story, and the situation she was facing at the time was that many pressures and trials were in her life. She'd gone to the doctor and he'd prescribed some medicines, some antidepressants and things like that for her to take to deal with the pressures. She said, I've been taking some of these things. She said, but right now I'm scared to death that I'm going to go back onto the hard drugs that I did before I got saved. She said, these things I feel like are going to lead me down that path again. She said, you know, and I don't know what to do. And so they spoke about trusting in the Lord, His care, His power, resting in the promises of God. He encouraged her, you know, about memorizing Scripture. They spoke of many things, and he said to her, how about just, you know, the possibility of putting all your medications together, maybe in a bag, and you know, bringing them to the church. Leave them with a pastor for a few days. And if you find that, you know, you don't need these things, then you can rest in the Lord and get the victory with the Word of God, the help of the Holy Spirit. But if you, you know, decide you want them back, well, they'll be there. She said, I'd like to try that. And so she did. They talked about getting rid of them, you know, flushing them down the loo. And she said, no, it's too much. It'll stop it up. I have to call the plumber. It's a lot of stuff. So that night she brought to the revival meeting a big grocery bag full of all these bottles of different pills and prescription things she'd had for many months. So the pastor and his wife, they kept those and they were in contact with her each day. Well, this lady began to put forth the time and the effort to memorize these promises that were in the Word of God. And each day she would talk to them and she said, you know, I'm finding that these verses are helping me in my thinking. They're helping me to deal with the fear and the worry and the guilt of the past. I'm beginning to rest in the promises of God. So several days went by. They said, do you need the medicines back? She said, no, the Word of God is sufficient. I'm getting the victory in my thought life. What a blessing. We met a lady in Jamaica, 1999. Her name was Carlene. Carlene was 31 years old. She'd been saved a year when we met her. She was out of work at the time, and her pastor said that she should come and help us in the public schools. We needed to help her, and she needed something to do because she was just sitting at home being bored, and it was making her spiritual life go downhill because she didn't have anything to do. A lot of stress in the home. She lived with her mom. They had fights all the time. She had a young girl, and she was worried about how to pay the bills and all sorts of things in her life. She was up and down like a yo-yo. Been saved just a year. She started going to the schools with us and helping give out the gospel books, and she would share her testimony. We had her around the home for lunch a few days, and she shared her story with us how she got saved. But since she'd been saved, she'd never really had assurance of her salvation. She said, I go to church on Sunday and I get all charged up and I feel great, but then I go back home and I face the problems and I just go down in all my emotions and I feel like I'm lost and I feel guilty and I'm not sure if I'm saved and I can't deal with the challenges in my life. She had this daughter that was about 10 years old. She'd never married. And so now she'd lost her job and she didn't know how she'd pay the bills. And her mom was always on her back every day just fussing at her. And they didn't have a good relationship. She said, I lose my testimony at home every day. She said, I want to lead my mom to the Lord. But every day she gets on my case and I start yelling at her and we have fights. And she said, I'm a worry wart. She said, I'm always just worried and I get sick. I'll vomit because I'm so sick with worry and fear. I don't know how to cope. So again, we encouraged her. Take some of these verses. Start memorizing the assurance of salvation verses. Memorize some promises of God's provision, God's peace. And she started learning the verses. Each day as she'd come to meet us for the school, she'd hop in the van. She was just beaming from ear to ear. She said, "Listen to the verse I've learned today." And she would quote it. And she was so full of joy. She worked with us for 3 weeks. And day after day, she got stronger and stronger in her Christian life. Her testimony was, first of all, she said, "You know what? For the first time in my life, I've had assurance of my salvation." She said, "I memorized these verses about how that He'll never leave me or forsake me, that my sins are forgiven." She said, "Now I understand and I'm confident that I'm saved. I don't have to worry about that anymore." She said, "I memorized these promises of God's provision, and now I'm trusting the Lord to provide instead of worrying about the future." She said, "I've learned these promises of His strength and His victory, and they're helping me to overcome my anger and overcome my tongue and my temper." She said, "I'm having victory over fear and worry and anxiety in my life." And she growed on and went strong for the Lord. We met her up about a year later. She worked with us again. She was still going on strong for the Lord because of memorizing the verses. So it really makes a powerful difference in a person's life. I could tell you of many others, but we'll move on. I'm going to quickly go through a few of these. This verse I didn't mention last week, but it's so important. God wants us to think on these things. What a true, honest, just, pure, lovely, good report. If you want to take that seriously, memorizing Scripture will help you to live out this verse. If you really want to think on the things that God wants you to think on, the memorized Word will help you to do it. Now, last week we finished with this point. The memorized Word will help you in your witnessing. We looked at a few verses. We won't go to them again. You see them there. I encourage you to review those. The references are all in the paper that you have. Friend of ours down in Albury is Colin Travascus. He's the man there in the picture. He has a great ministry with the Gospel Wagon. We've been out on the streets together many times, and so many times I've heard Colin quoting verses that he's memorized to help him in his witnessing. Colin's a great challenge to me. We've lived with him at his home for a number of months on a few different occasions as we work together in the ministry. This is a fine man of God. Years ago, his wife left him when he got saved, but he stayed faithful to the Lord, and he's serving the Lord in the ministry in a wonderful way. But every morning he gets up early, and he spends time memorizing Scripture and in prayer. And every night before he goes to bed, he sits down and he reviews again the Scripture passages that he's learning. I've been in his home many times on a Saturday morning when they had men's prayer breakfast. And the men who come, they go around the table, and different ones will quote a chapter that they've been learning. Colin has gone through and memorized the whole Gospel of John. I know that for sure because I've been there when he's quoted many of the chapters. He's learned other portions of Scripture. Now, he doesn't always go back and keep all of it reviewed to where he could say it now. But over the years, he's memorized hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of verses of Scripture. I know it helps him in his witnessing because I've seen it. But it's helped him in his Christian life to stay straight and to stay faithful and to keep going with the Lord when the burdens of life were very great. The memorized Word has helped him to be a fine, fine witness for Jesus Christ. Now, some of you might think, "Well, Brother James, that's good for you and your wife and Colin and other people, but I'm not sure I can do it." If you're not sure you can memorize Scripture, could I encourage you to learn this verse first of all? Philippians 4:13. "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." That's a promise. There's miraculous power. The Holy Spirit of God who lives in you, He will help you to learn the Word, obey the Word, proclaim the Word. If you just say, "Yes, Lord," and begin to do it. "I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me." I'll quickly mention some of the things that will be back there as best I can get them out later. These are just tools to help you. Over the years, my dad has put some little verses in booklets on different topics. There are some on the plan of salvation, the principles of Christian living, some on promises, some on victory, and some on the family. And each of these different little verse booklets will be back there. I also have some other cards on finances and on our Christ-like speech. The booklet with a study guide there on scripture memory, if you're interested to look at that. Another book my dad's put together on health. Then I have a few things from another source, a godly man. He's an evangelist. He's written some Bible study guides. It's a daily guide, a devotional guide. There's about 7 different ones, and you may find some of those helpful for your daily devotions. So I'll do my best to have a few of those things back there at the end. Now if you'd open your Bible, please, to Colossians 3. I want to quickly carry on through, if we can, 3 more ways that the memorized word will help you. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Colossians 3, verse 16. Now this verse doesn't specifically speak about memorizing scripture, but what it teaches is clear that when we have the word memorized, it's a lot easier for this to be a reality in our daily living. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Notice what it says there. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. That's the phrase that I want to focus on. Now in your notes, you'll see a point where it says the memorized word will help you to have spirit-filled relationships, or the memorized word will help you to be spirit-filled in your relationships with other people. And you say, now Brother James, where do you get that out of this verse of scripture? Hold your hat and let me explain. It says here, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And then following this verse are a few different characteristics. First of all, in verse 16, we see about singing to the Lord and to other believers. That's a result of letting the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Does that make sense? There's a second result, verse 17. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. So when the word of Christ is dwelling in you richly, it will produce singing to the Lord, it will produce thanksgiving to the Lord, and thirdly, it will produce submission to other people. Notice verse 18. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it's fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives. Be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents. And then he carries on and talks about servants submitting to their masters and masters living in submission to their servants. Now, these characteristics, singing, giving thanks, and submission, are exactly the same as Ephesians chapter 5 when God says, be filled with the Spirit. If you were to have a look at these passages side by side, you'll see that they're parallel. So here's what I want you to notice. The command in Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, is parallel to the command, be filled with the Spirit. These two things are so similar. And actually what they are is they sort of shed light on each other. See, to let the word of Christ dwell in you richly means this. It means to allow it to be at home. To allow the word of God to come into every nook and cranny of your life. That there's no part of your life that's untouched by the word of God. It is welcome. It's not on a visitor status. I'll just use the illustration now. I hope I don't embarrass them, but you know we're staying at Mick and Danny's place. We stayed with many people around as we travel in the ministry. And they've been very gracious to us and they've opened their home. Of course, we have the caravan there. But you know, they've said to us, just make yourselves at home. Now, we understand that what they mean by that. That we're welcome there, but there's boundaries, right? They still have a few places in their home that are the boundaries. Of course, one of them is the place where they keep the Tim Tams, right? That's off limits, right? You know? there's places in their home like where they keep the checkbook and the cash drawer, and they don't really want us to help ourselves to that, do they? We understand that when you tell somebody, make yourself at home, they're still on visitor status. And that's reasonable. But you know, some people do that with the Word of God. They've opened the front door of their life to Jesus Christ and they let Him come in as the Savior, but some parts of their life are still on off limits to Jesus Christ. The Word of God can't come here in this private place. No, I've still got to hold on to that one, Lord. I can't let You have control in this corner of my life. Lord, there's something over here in my life that You're not welcome there, Lord. That's still for me. And this verse is commanding that You allow the Word of Jesus Christ to have full control over every detail. There's no rooms that are locked off to His Word. Every key on the keychain of your life is surrendered to His control. Every door is open. You say, Lord, You come in and inspect. By Your Word, You come in, Lord, and You shine the light. And if You find anything that You're not happy with, Lord, I'll change it. Lord, I'm open to change as Your Word shows me to change. That's what the command is given there. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly, fully at home. Now the other command, be filled with the Spirit, is very similar. It means to allow the Holy Spirit of God to control you. To allow the Holy Spirit of God to be in control of your members. Romans 6, 12 and 13 says, do not let sin rule in your mortal body, that you should obey it and the lust thereof. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those who are alive from the dead, and your members, hands, eyes, ears, feet, tongue, mind, yield your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. That's a moment by moment process. As the Holy Spirit of God reminds me of His truth, reminds me to do right according to His truth, I say, yes, Lord. And I yield to Him my members. I let the Holy Spirit of God have control in my life. How's He going to do it? By the Word of truth. So you see, these two things come together. The Holy Spirit, who is the author of the Word of God, will use the Word of God to guide me into every detail of my living. Now, you say, James, how's that going to affect my relationships? Well, in both of these chapters, Colossians 3 and Ephesians 5, what follows on is all the different relationships of life. Husbands and wives, children and parents, employees and employers. And so God's going to produce in your life and my life the right kind of Christ-like love and Christ-like submission that is needed in those relationships. He commands it. He expects it. When we do it, it honors Him and it draws people to the Savior. But how's it going to happen? With the help of the Holy Spirit of God, He reminds me of truth in that moment when I'm in this relationship and maybe I'm tempted to be selfish or to be rude or nasty or rebellious, and the Word of God reminds me, be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. And I say, yes, Lord, I will, right now, and it helps the relationship to be what it ought to be. In that moment, as perhaps I have something on my mind and my wife or my children have a different need than what I was hoping to do, and the Word of truth reminds me about loving my wife as Christ loved the church. That involves sacrifice, a sacrificial love. And so the Lord helps me remember and see the situation, okay? I need to serve in love and set self aside. And in that moment, I say yes to the Holy Spirit as the Word of truth reminds me. And I do what the Holy Spirit of God helps me to do, and the relationship stays what it ought to be. As I'm dealing with my children, and perhaps there's some frustration there, and maybe I do speak to them or discipline them in the wrong way, and I get in the flesh, and the Word of God reminds me, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Now I'm at a crossroads. Will I say yes to the Holy Spirit? Confess and forsake my sin? Go humbly before my child and say, I was wrong in how I spoke to you, how I dealt with you. Will you please forgive me? I had a bad attitude. I disciplined you in anger, perhaps, whatever the wrong may be, and correct with the Word of God as it reminds me. And that brings wonderful healing and help to the relationship. Perhaps you're in a situation where you want to do something and mom and dad say no. You want to go somewhere and mom and dad say, not this time. You want to have some rights or some liberties or some freedoms and mom and dad say, well, we're not sure about that. Would you just hold off a bit? And the old flesh rises up and you want to grumble and complain and go on and be obstinate. And the Word of God remembers to your heart, honor thy father and mother. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Those verses are in this passage. And so the Holy Spirit of God is working to control you by the Word of Christ dwelling in you richly. And in that moment, you either say, yes, Lord, and there's sweet submission and safety and joy and peace and victory. Or you say, no, Lord, I want to keep going my way. There'll be a battle. And when there's a battle, there's always some wounds and some scars and some memories that you'd like to not have. So, day by day, the Holy Spirit will seek to control us with the Word of Christ dwelling in us. Does this make sense? I hope it does. The Bible challenges me, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. You see, these things go together with what we talked about earlier, the thinking, bringing every thought to the obedience of Christ. I'm glad God put that verse in the Bible because I sure need it. Amen. Oftentimes, and I would have never understood this before being married, oftentimes the temptation is there in the heart. You're frustrated about something. You're disappointed a bit about something. You wish that your wife was more this or that and less that, and the bitterness starts to develop. Come on, fellas, you can say amen if you know what I'm talking about. It's all right. Ladies, don't help them. You just be quiet. You might produce more bitterness right now. No. But you know, those thoughts rise up. And if the thoughts stay there, the seeds grow into fruit. And that's what we don't want. Amen. It comes out in actions, words that hurt, attitudes. And so, when the Word of God is filling your heart and the Holy Spirit reminds you, no, be not bitter against them. And you say, yes, Lord, I will let that thought be brought under the captivity of Christ. Amen. Then the ugly fruit is never there. It's a beautiful thing. The memorized Word will help us so much to have Spirit-filled relationships. Perhaps you're on the job and you have an employer that's cranky. Maybe an employer that's unreasonable, unrighteous, unjust, cheats you, curses you. Could be in many things. Have a read of the book of 1 Peter or other places and see how much some of the believers suffered under really, really evil masters and employers. Ladies suffered under evil husbands. Yet the Word of God said to them, you stay in submission. And as you stay in submission, God will be glorified in your life. That's not easy to live. It's not easy to live. But the Word of God filling your soul, the Holy Spirit helps you remember and in that moment be strong to obey and do right. The memorized Word will help you in your relationships with other people. Well, let's move on to the next one there. The memorized Word will help you to be wise in your decisions. Turn back, please, to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. I'm sure that there are other verses that could point this out, but these are just a few that I'd like to focus on. It seems here very clear to me, and I hope it will be to you. Psalm 119, First of all, we'll read number 23. The memorized word will help us to be wise in our decisions. Verse 23 and 24. He says, "Princes also did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors." You see there, obviously, if the Word of God is your counselor, it's going to help you make wise decisions. But notice what he said. I'm meditating in your statutes, and your testimonies are my delight. Whenever you memorize the Word, it becomes a lot easier to meditate on the Word. And as you meditate on that Word of God, then moment by moment throughout the day, when your Bible is not open in front of you, the Lord can remind you of these verses and help you to make wise decisions. Continue on there in Psalm 119, verse 97, please. We want to read a few verses here together. And I want you to see how many times he talks about being able to meditate on the Word and how that this helps him to have wisdom or discernment in his decisions. Psalm 119, verse 97. "Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day." Now that implies that he has memorized the Word. It's very hard to meditate on it all day long unless you've memorized it. Notice verse 98. Thou through thy commandments hast made me wiser than mine enemies. For they, that is, your commandments, are ever with me. Doesn't it sound like he has the Word memorized? Verse 99. I have more understanding than all my teachers. Why? Because thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients. That is, the elderly who have a lot of knowledge. I understand more than the ancients because I keep thy precepts. How did it help him? Verse 101. I have refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. Say, James, what does that have to do with making decisions? Well, as the Word of God fills your heart and mind, and you're praying about a decision, the Lord can help you to see what is a false way and avoid it, and help you to see what is the true and right way and walk in this one. Verse 105, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." The memorized word, when you're meditating on it, it will help you to make wise decisions. I remember in about 1995, it was, I think, my second year of university, and I was encouraged by some godly people in my life to pursue buying a home. Now, this was a number of years before I was looking at getting married or anything. And at the time, I didn't really have much money. I had only a very small job. I was working my way through school. But I was encouraged to consider buying a home. It would be a good investment for the future, and to start on that while I didn't have many responsibilities. Now, all the logic was there. It was quite good. You know, I was still living at home with my parents. The bills were low. I had a little bit of money somebody was offering to help me out to get the loan, and a lot of different things were lining up. Now, I'd never been faced with a decision this big in my life before. I was about 21 years old. And some very godly people were encouraging me, "You ought to do this. You ought to do this. It'd be a good thing." So I thought, "Lord, I don't know what to do." And I decided to fast and pray 2 or 3 days and just seek the Lord for help in this thing. And as I did, I can remember praying and asking the Lord to just show me from His Word a clear answer, either from a specific Bible verse or an example or a story in the Bible, an example that I could follow, or a principle that would help me to make the decision. Now, I can't remember at the moment exactly which things it were. I couldn't call to you the reference, but I remember that time in my life that over those couple days as I fasted and prayed, seeking God's direction, the Lord answered prayer. Verses that I had memorized began to come to my mind as I was driving across town, as I was working, pushing behind the mower, as I was out for a walk in the morning to pray. God began to flood my mind with stories and verses and principles from the Bible that helped me come to a decision and make that decision. I decided to wait. I decided to say no. And over the next few years, I could see how much trouble I'd have been if I'd have gone ahead and tried to buy that house. I saw that, you know, in the next few years, even still today, I'd be affected by it. Now we were able to buy a home when we first got married. We have a home. Of course, the bank still owns most of it, but we're paying on it. But, you know, it was wonderful to just have the Word of God help me make a big decision. Another time I was in one of the West Indies islands. I was on a preaching trip. This was in the summer of 2001. And I was there because I had prayed about a decision to go, whether I should spend the summer there with a certain pastor or whether I should be in a different place of ministry. And as I was praying about it, the Lord brought to my mind a verse of Scripture. I was reading through the Bible and the Lord led me to a proverb. It says, "Thine own friend and thy father's friend forsake not." And as I was praying about the decision for ministry that summer, that verse helped me make the decision. This was a friend of my dad's who desperately needed help in the ministry. And I thought, you know what? This is God answering my prayer. This verse sealed the deal. But as I was down there ministering, I was invited to a youth group to preach on a Friday night. And I was there having the ministry, preached the young people. The place was full, probably maybe 60 or 70 young people were there from several churches. And there was a young lady there that night who came up and she was very friendly to me. More friendly than was appropriate. And she wasn't dressed very modestly, and as a young man, I was challenged to keep my eyes and my mind pure as this young lady was there in front of me. I was tempted in the flesh, and I was doing my best to get away from her as quick as I could. And she was begging me to come back the next Friday night. Would I be at the youth meeting? I said, well, I'm not sure. I haven't decided. Nobody else has invited me. The pastor hasn't invited me. I'm not really sure what I'm going to do. So I finally was able to get away from her and say goodbye and go on my way. And that week I got an invitation from some other adults to go to the youth meeting the next week. And I was praying about it. So, Lord, what should I do? If I go there, I can talk to some young people and I can encourage them in the things of the Lord. I can serve the Lord there, but if I go there, I know that young lady's going to be there and I'm going to be tempted again. And the verse of Scripture came to my mind, Romans 13, verse 14. It says, "Make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." And that verse of Scripture that I had memorized helped me to make a wise decision. And I said, sorry, I'm not going to go. Somebody else can do those things, because in the moment, I know that I'm not prepared to be in that temptation again. God helped me to make a wise decision with the Scripture I had memorized. You know, we face decisions every day. And I want you to just have a quick look at Ephesians chapter 5. And I just want you to just see one verse, please, and how that God expects us to know His will and to be wise as we walk through this world. Now, if you want to try to have wisdom in a different way than memorizing Scripture, that's fine. Go for it. But I'm here to encourage you tonight that if you'll take the work and memorize the Scripture, it will just help you grow by leaps and bounds to make wise decisions. But however you do it, I want you to know that God expects you to live this way. You have a responsibility. Ephesians 5, verse 14 to 17. "Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." Now, God has light and direction on offer to you, and he expects you to use it. Verse 15, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." I heard a friend once give an illustration. He said, if you're going through the paddock and there's a lot of cows in the area, you'll notice there's a few piles from the cows in that paddock. And to walk circumspectly means that you go through the paddock in such a way that when you reach the other side, you still have clean boots. All right, that's walk circumspectly. And God wants us to walk through life avoiding the cow patties. Amen? We're supposed to do it. He said there, be not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, now what's that there for? Verse 16, the days are evil. For this reason, be ye not unwise, but be understanding what the will of the Lord is. Now that leads us to our final point. The memorized word will help you to grow in your knowledge of God. You see, when you increase in the knowledge of God, then you know what the will of the Lord is, and you can make wise decisions. While you've got Ephesians 5 there, just look back a couple verses. He says in verse 8, you were sometimes darkness, but now you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. The fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. The word there, proving, is like, it's very much similar to the scientific testing in a laboratory. You do this and you do that and you do the other and you find out something and you come to a conclusion. God expects us to be proving or testing by experiment what is acceptable to the Lord. He wants us to evaluate things, not with our own knowledge, not with our own wisdom, but to take His Word and like a microscope look through His Word and evaluate the situation. Use the light of His Word and shine on that matter and say, what does the Lord say about this thing? And through a process of testing with the Word of God, we come to the conclusion, okay, this is acceptable to the Lord, and this is not. Paul prayed for the Philippians that they would have this in their life. Philippians chapter 1, verse 9. He said, and I pray that your love will abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. Their ability to discern between right and wrong and make decisions that pleased God. He said, I pray that you'll increase in knowledge and in all judgment, proving the things that are excellent. You see, there is bad, good, and the best in life. And God wants me to choose the best. Not settle for second best. Not waste my life on what is good or what is bad. But always be enjoying His best. You know, sometimes good things are the enemy of the best things. You know, sometimes good things such as a great health program or exercise program or social aids or all kinds of different hobbies and activities we can do that are good, even family time, if we're not careful, can be the enemy of the best. Time with the Lord. Time with the saints. Time with the sinners. We have to strike a balance. And having the knowledge of God filling our soul will help us to prove the things that are excellent. So as we learn the Word, it will help us to know God better. It'll help us to know who He is and help us know what He expects from us. Now you might be saying, well, James, I don't see in these verses about Scripture memory. Just hold on and I hope you'll see it clearly. As we wrap up this point, to grow in the knowledge of God, I want to just mention this. Number one, Jesus invited us or encouraged us to learn of Him. Matthew 11, 29. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Jesus Christ wants us to know Him better. It's a lifelong process of learning of Him. You say, James, why would you and your wife go to the trouble to memorize chapters and books of the Bible? Why would other people like Colin Travascus memorize the whole Gospel of John? To learn of Him. To know Him better. You can't improve on that. When you've memorized a book, you get a grasp on it like nothing else can give you. Jesus promised that He would send the Holy Spirit to guide us into all truth, to teach us His way, 1 Corinthians 2 talks about that Holy Spirit revealing to us the deep things of God. He wants us to learn of Him. I remember one Sunday night hearing a fine man of God in our church preach on Hebrews chapter 9 on the blood of Jesus Christ. It's a wonderful message. I got so stirred up that night as he preached on the blood that I thought, you know what? I've got to memorize that portion of Scripture that he preached on. It was so good. When I memorized that section, I thought, man, this is so good. I got to learn the whole chapter. And I learned chapter 9 as then I was reading chapter 10. I thought, man, these go together. They're so great. I've just got to learn chapter 10 too. And I memorized Hebrews chapter 9 and 10. And I was being challenged at that time about learning of Christ and just enjoying Christ, to know Him. And I started to pray. I said, Lord, the book of Hebrews is all about the person and the work of Jesus Christ. Lord, I'd like to understand You a whole lot better. And I began to pray about whether God wanted me to memorize the book of Hebrews. And the Lord laid on my heart that He did, and I began to do that. And over probably a couple or 3 years, I can't remember how long for sure, I began to memorize the book of Hebrews, and with God's help, I finished it. And I want to tell you what, I grew in my knowledge of the Lord more than probably any other time in my life when I memorized the book of Hebrews. I understood things about Christ and His work and His person, and just things of all other Scriptures so much. And the rejoicing was so great as I grew in the knowledge of the Lord. Now, I know we can grow in knowledge as we hear preaching. Yes. We can grow in knowledge as we read. Yes. But there's something special about memorizing that just puts it all together in a truly awesome way. I hope you'll try it. Paul prayed for this. We already read some verses. Philippians 1. Colossians 1, he prayed that they would increase in the knowledge of God. And then finally, Peter charged us to do it. The verse is over here, and Charlie spoke about it this morning. The last words of the Apostle Peter that we have recorded, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. God wants us to be growing in the knowledge of Christ. The command is there. We need to do it. If you want to do it differently than memorizing Scripture, that's fine. But I want to encourage you, if you memorize the Word, it will help you so much to know Him better. When you know Him better, you can trust Him more. You'll understand more His will for your life. You'll sense the greatness of His presence so much more. You'll have His wisdom in decisions. The knowledge of His power so much more. I can't tell you how much it helps to grow in the knowledge of God by memorizing and reviewing Scripture. I'll close with this illustration and a short story of a young lady. In 2 Corinthians 3, the Bible talks about beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, and we're changed into the same image by the Spirit of the Lord. You see, your Christian life is like God's magnificent building program or a construction site. God's Son provides the pattern. Jesus is like the blueprint. God's Word provides the principles, which would be like the building materials, the bricks and the mortar, the pipe for the plumbing and all the rest of it. And then God's Spirit provides the power to accomplish the task. And so that verse of Scripture says that when we behold as in a glass the glory of the Lord, we are changed into His same image by the Spirit of the Lord. The moment we got saved, He started working on us to build us to be like Christ. Now He's going to do the work. And the pattern is there. But it's our job to bring the building materials and hand them over to the Master Builder. We're supposed to be laborers together with God, the Bible says. We're supposed to dig and search and apply our heart to knowledge. So every day as I read a chapter, or every day as I memorize a verse, every Sunday when I hear a message, it's like going over to the pile of construction materials that's out on the site, and I bring some blocks and I hand them over to the Holy Spirit, and He then takes and puts it in place in my life. And day by day, this process goes on. And the more I give him the building materials, the faster the change into Christ's likeness takes place. Does that make sense? It's a beautiful thing. It's a wonderful thing. It's an exciting thing to see God building you into Christ's likeness as you increase yourself the knowledge of God. A young lady I saw at a funeral in Albury a few weeks ago, she's now, I think, 20 years old. She's grown up in a Christian home, but her parents have struggled greatly. They've separated and come back together a few times. She's had a very hard life. They've been in and out of church. They live way out on a property far from town. They have to drive a long ways to church, and so many times they would not come. She didn't have very many friends her age. She struggled greatly with a lot of things in the life. But a few years ago at a summer camp, she made some decisions, and she began to dedicate herself to the Word of God and to accountability with some good friends. Now, we've been encouraged by this young lady just to watch her blossom and grow and be strong in her life. I was speaking to her the other week, and she was just sharing with me the joys of her Christian life. Joy and peace and happiness in the midst of a life where you'd think, man, there's no hope for any child in that family. I mean, they've got it hard, and yet this young lady is blossoming in the things of the Lord. And she was sharing with me how that she's memorizing this chapter and that chapter, memorizing this book of the Bible and that book of the Bible. She was going to quote verses at the youth meeting, be in the competition and this and that. And, you know, she has just been strong in the midst of great trials and great sorrows in her family life. She's grown in her knowledge of the Lord and been satisfied because she's dedicated herself to increasing in the knowledge of God. It can be the same for anyone who will just say yes to the Holy Spirit. Day by day, as He asks you to bring the building materials, will you say yes, Lord? Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You that You've given Your Word, You've preserved Your Word, and Lord, You've also indwelt us by Your Holy Spirit, who will help us to learn and obey and live this blessed Word of God. We thank You, Lord, for these things. I pray that You'll encourage my brothers and sisters here and help them to dedicate themselves to spending some time each day to Scripture memory and review. Lord, I pray that it'll be a lifelong discipline for them, that they'll find the joys of hiding Your Word in their heart. Lord, for those who are trying to do it, I pray You'd encourage them to continue. For those who've done it in the past and maybe got weary in well-doing or got distracted, I pray, Lord, that You would just rekindle that fire under their pot and that they'll get going again. Lord, for those who've never done it, I pray that You will persuade them that it is Your will and that they will benefit greatly. Help them, Lord, to find the time and to discipline themselves to begin to do it. Help them, Lord, to just love Your Word so much that they'll go the extra mile to even memorize it. We ask for Your help in these things. In Jesus' name, amen.